Perch and bite like crazy.
Oh, yeah, them perch and bite like crazy. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, I love being let into it, the hillbilly stuff. It's fun. And this is Radio Fishing. And I got Captain Tom Fisher across from me in the chair. And
good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Oh. Ah, we have an elephant in the room. You gotta love that. Okay. That's the first ringtone I've ever heard in elephant style. That's really cool.
That's the only thing I can hear going across the bay in that tower.
Yep.
That gets your attention.
So. No, that's I'm sitting here going, there's an elephant in the room. You know, it's pink. It's got spots on it. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Okay, we're here. We're doing Radio Fishing, and we got Captain Tom Fisher with us. We've got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about. So, you've been chartering. I mean, this is the season now. You're just busy, busy, busy.
Busy, busy, busy. This is it's change. The big word's change right now. Everything's changing.
Really?
Everything's in mid-process of it. You got the white butterflies coming in, love bugs.
Oh, man.
That spring.
I was really happy. Okay, we got the butterflies showing up. That means the water's warming up. Yep. Everything's perfect. We're going to have fish here. Then you had to remind me, love bugs. Oh,
well,
my God.
They're here already. You come across the bay in that tower now, and you'll catch a couple. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's really not much here. I'm seeing them at the house. I get onesies, twosies. And
yeah, they're not hard yet, but that's change. It's starting.
It's starting. What was it? 2-3 years ago, I had the radar thing from Tampa that showed the cloud of love bugs over the harbor.
Wow.
Did you ever see that?
I didn't see that.
They were so thick, they actually showed on radar.
Wow.
You could actually, just like a storm cloud coming across, we had that wind blowing out of the east, and it was pushing them all out towards the Gulf, and you could literally see this massive cloud of love bugs going across. I happened to be in the harbor that day, and the boat, my boat, the inside's a real light, it's kind of white, and the whole inside of the boat went black.
Oh,
we
yeah.
had to stop. You just couldn't run in it. We were idling and still pushing them off. It was crazy.
Yep. Never,
that was the worst you ever saw. But I don't know if I still have that picture, but I'll try and find it for you.
That's old school. That's good.
Tampa radar. It was amazing to see. So anyway,
but
it's perfect here right now, though.
With that, you know, with the butterflies coming in and the love bugs starting, and the water's up now to 72, you know, and you can get in the back bays at 74, 75, you know, on top of the reef. And a lot of things are changing right now. There's been a bunch of reports of little spotty tarpon coming in and around. You can't really go back to them the second day. You can't target them. It's one of those things, if you're running down the bar and, you know, you happen to see it. And you know, it's a plus. But there's been some showing that we have seen some, and the cobia have come in, and they're just on the west wall, Cape Hayes, about halfway down Cape Hayes, all the way down to Myakka, just about. It's just ate up with cobia, and actually manatees too. I haven't seen that many manatees over there in a long time, but there's a big herd of manatees over there now too.
Yeah, that's always amazing. One of the cool things people forget about taking a charter down here, and when they get out with you and you're out on the water, you always remind them, look around, look at that. There's manatees right there. There's
yep.
stingrays. There's these conchs. There's all this. There's just so much crazy stuff, from ospreys and eagles grabbing fish in the water and flying off with them, and leopard rays shooting up 6-8 feet out of the water doing a back fillip and falling back
in.
It's really cool. And then watching the pompano skip in your wake as you're running along.
It's all starting to happen. It's all coming together. I think I'm sure we'll probably have another cold snap before it's over with. But, you know.
I mean, let's face it. Look at the weather map. The Southwest is dry. It's
true.
You know, I mean, it's,
we may not
it's not pleasant over there. And then you got everything north of up there is either rain or cold or freezing. And they got a cold spell going on up there right now from what I hear.
Sure.
So there is only one really, really nice place. I mean, if you're listening, you're in North Dakota. Now, we do have a few listeners in North Dakota, and thank you, Minnesota and Michigan and Illinois and Wisconsin and all parts east. I mean, thank you guys for tuning in so much. And oh, We're up to 124 people in Great Britain listening.
Awesome.
Looking on the analytics. So Great Britain, pip pip, cheerio, all that kind of stuff. Thank you. And I don't know, good day. How do they say it in Australia? We're up to
mate,
75 people in Australia listening to the show. So
good day.
Good day. Hello, Australia. So yeah, believe it or not, you're actually going worldwide. We're getting more and more out of the country and huge in the U.S. But
that's
Canada,
good. Cause we have a lot of people come over here to fish.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte Harbor is such a beautiful estuary and it's so alive with different kinds of fish that you really can't target all the fish we have in one day. So
yeah.
And we have people come all over the world for that, and that's what makes
and
us special.
You've got
here.
A very international clientele. I mean,
sure.
You get people from all over, and
yes.
You do hunting and fishing and all this stuff, so you've got a very, very broad
yes.
clientele. Now, what have you been catching the last week or so? What's the species that are most prevalent?
The redfish are on the west. I've been fishing everything on the west side. I've got off the east side and went to the west side now. The east side has a lot of people because that's where the things were. And they've kind of gotten beat up a little bit and they're kind of moving around. You know, they're kind of trying to hide a little more.
Yep.
West wall's been wide open. I mean, you don't see hardly anybody over there anymore. No, they haven't gotten there yet. The cobia are running up and down the reef. The reef is real, real wide.
He's talking about the
end.
Sandbar. When he
right.
Tom talks about reefs, because it's kind of a reef. You've got the deep water of the harbor, and then it comes up, gets very, very shallow, and there's holes and grass and everything else, but it separates Charlotte Harbor from the flats behind it on the west side of the harbor.
And, you know, halfway down more to the north, towards the Myakka, you know, you have a big flat.
Have you seen the sailboat
flat.
Up on the bar out
yes.
there?
it got up there this winter.
I mean, it would be nice. It'd be nice if they leave it there, because it's a great marker for, you know, lower or upper, before
sure.
the boat, after the boat.
Sure.
You know? And it looks cool, you know. I always like watching the sailboats ground over there.
Yeah, that one's going to be tough to get off.
I went over there one time, and there was a guy arguing with me, because I'm telling Bud, you're stuck. And he's got some little handheld thing, and it's not like a depth finder. It's some little GPS thing with a chart on it that's telling me he's in 15 feet of water. And finally I looked at it, I said, Bud, if you argue with me anymore, I won't pull you off. If you just, you know, take the rope, tie it to your bow, I'll pull you out to deep water. You're in, you know, your keel's aground. You can't move. And it's amazing how they argue with you.
Oh, yeah.
And so I pulled him out to deep water. He went, well, I guess it was aground.
Well, the train
don't
mentioned that
trust
silver.
Electronics.
Oh,
don't
no.
trust your electrics.
You, no. You gotta,
put a stick in the water. You'll know. A stick doesn't lie.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the sailboat, because the sailboat is actually attracting fish already.
Yeah.
And the reds are getting around it, and there's a school that's running up and down and around it. And the sailboat's a perfect place to start. You can
oh,
go
yeah.
the way you want to, but the sailboat's about where you want to start at.
Yeah, that's,
and it's a huge flat right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe 300 yards wider than, you know, it starts widening up at that end,
mm-hmm.
and you have a bunch of area, a lot of sand holes. You know, you can float across that, hit your sand holes with your shrimp, your pinfish. It's shallow enough on a low to mid tide that's great artificial. That's where you want to use all your top water.
Yeah, I'll have to bring in some reflective tape, and I'll get somebody to go out and mark it off with reflective tape, because I've got some leftover, some jobs I did. Just put some white reflective tape down the side.
It'd be nice if they did leave, but I have a feeling they're going to get off there once they get a storm front tide, you know, comes in their spring
it'll
tide.
It'll be too late, because...
Oh, it's been under.
That keel is so far down in the mud, and they won't allow them to dredge. They're going to have to drag it out, and it's going to rip that boat to pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to tear that hull right in half.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, but the sailboat's actually good fishing. Now, what's the game plan for, if you were going to send somebody out and tell them, okay, I guess the West Wall would be the place to send them
out
to?
Well, out on the tip of Boquilla, on the outside of the Boquilla Bar, more towards the pass. So you're talking Jug Creek entrance to
right.
Bull Bay area. Out, no,
mm-hmm.
anywhere in the harbor, the mackerel have come in, and you can see schools of mackerel out there now. You're going to catch ladyfish in it, and some bluefish in it too, but there's and some jacks. But the
for just fun and activity, get down somewhere from Cape Hayes out to Boca Grande.
Yep.
Best bet, I would say, troll a small maverick.
Watch the birds.
Watch the birds. Troll the storm twitching on one side, put the maverick on the other side, and just idle along. When you hit fish, stop and fish.
Yep.
And it's that simple.
Anywhere around the birds, you're going to have them, and they're really real good out there. I mean, they're thick out there right now. They just came in good. There's schools of Spanish and ladyfish on the beaches, but it's tough to get out on the beaches with the waves and wind coming out of the west and southwest. So
yeah,
inside the harbor is really nice.
I'd say stay Cape Hayes to Boca Grande Pass. You're going to be safe, comfortable. Yep. I would avoid the Gulf for right now, because with a south wind it can be real tricky.
Yes.
Because if it switches a little bit to the west, all of a sudden it's pushing right on the land, and we've had guys, they're idling along the shore, catch a wave, and next thing you know, they're sitting on the sand.
Yes.
And that is not fun.
No. That's not a good place to be.
No, not with the waves are coming in, because you can't get the boat out, because you can't push it. The water's coming in. Next thing you know, your boat's full of water, sand, and when it comes down, you're out there with a shovel digging it out.
Yep.
That's
pretty much
right. I don't know why I know that. Local
knowledge.
Yes. Local time and experience. But, you tell people that this is one of the safest places in the world to go boating, because the worst thing you got to do is you're going to hit a sandbar.
Yes.
And
the sandbar is usually relatively forgiving, because it's mud and sand here instead of rocks.
There's no rock. I don't even know of a tree snag floating around right now.
Yeah.
The last ones I saw were off of Hog Island. The last time I was out, I didn't even see them. So pretty darn safe place to boat. Watch your depth finder.
Yes.
If you don't know where you're going and you're trying to just travel, stay in 8 feet of water. If you see 6 on your depth finder, move back out, because 6 can go 6.54 nothing.
Yes.
Right. Quick. Now. But 8 is safe. If, as long as you're in 8 feet of water, you can run anywhere in the harbor, whatever you want, and it's nice. Mom and Dad were out yesterday, and they said it was a lot of boats out there.
The weather's perfect. Everything's beautiful. And the thing is, people's flights going back are delayed and been canceled, and they're moving things around for so long that now they had to book it 2 weeks later.
Right.
So we have a lot more people here than we usually do, which is great for everybody. And they're enjoying it, because, instead of getting their boats winterized and put up to go back, summarized.
Right.
They're going out and enjoying, and they're actually seeing that it's nice this time of year.
It's really nice.
Really nice.
Now, we'll lose 70-80% of our snowbirds about Easter, and then it kind of trickles off. And then we get into tourist season, and May, June, late April, May, and June are the biggest months of the year down here in Florida for fishing. We have the biggest fish, the most fish. It's crazy good, especially May. And that's our biggest months of the year. And, we're always sad to see most of the snowbirds go. Most of them are such nice people. But you take 100 people, you're going to have a couple of jerks. Look, if we got two people in the room, I'm the jerk. It's just, that's the way it works. But most everybody comes down here as nice as they can be.
Sure.
Really nice people.
I have great people on my boat. I hardly ever have anybody ever.
And here we go. And now we're getting, and I always feel bad, because snowbird season usually trout, mackerel, great fish, but not the monsters. And Easter is kind of that break point when the snowbirds are leaving, and it's surprising how many of them are catching on that if they come down a little later in the fall and stay a little past Easter, all of a sudden they went from the average fish being 5 pounds to the average fish being 100 pounds.
Right. Exactly.
It's crazy. But
and
cobia are showing up thick right now.
Thick.
Unbelievable cobia fishing.
Thick. And I've told a lot of my people that I take out, the snowbirds that come before they go back, I say, look, if you'll just wait until Easter, there'll be nobody in the back bay with you at all. You won't have any competition. You'll almost rule it, because everybody's out tarpon fishing, mackerel fishing, king fishing, on the beaches, in the ICW and the sounds. And the whole harbor, it's pretty much yours.
You can go almost any spot on the east side,
pick your spot,
in the back bays, because everybody's switched over. They're all doing big fish, and they're out there, sharks and tarpon.
And your trout and your little, I call them groupie reds, where there's, 4 or 5 under a bush, and you can go 300 yards and there may be 200 fish, but there's only 4 or 5 under each bush, instead of the 200 in a knot on top of the reef. Well, we're all hitting the 200 on top of the reef. and all those fish in the bushes are just left alone. The trout are sitting right out there. The snook are laying there when the sand holes by them.
Yeah.
And
speaking of snook, opens up March 1st. And can't wait for that. Been out. I was going to go out pre-fish yesterday, but it was the first time I had taken the boat out. And so I didn't want to go far with it. We just idling around, and I'm even out there going, geez, you know, I don't even know how much gas is in this thing. I went up to the, put the nose up in the shoreline, and there was a pepper tree there, and I snapped the branch off, cleaned it up, stick it in the tank. I probably had 10 gallons. I could have gone anywhere I wanted. But we had a real nice time. Just we caught a couple of redfish and a couple of catfish around the mangroves. And but I'm already doing a little pre-fishing, you know, it's going to start looking for snook. I've got a couple places that I'm just really excited to go back to. I haven't been to in years.
Right.
And, I'm waiting for my snook dinner.
There you go. Everybody needs to have one.
I am waiting for my snook dinner.
I tell you, from me looking at this year especially, I don't think the time off hurt a bit. You know, I don't think the time we took off with the snook hurt a bit. And there seems to be numbers out there. I mean, they're not crazy like we used to see, and we all know, and we all used to see. And I don't know if it'll ever come back to that.
It will come back better than that. The secret to this is, to me, getting a size limit where you're not allowed to keep anything under 39 or 40 inches.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think everybody should have the trophy fish.
Everybody, you should be able to keep the top end.
They'll have a few years left anyhow.
Yeah, they're going to die in a few years anyway. They've already spawned as much as they need to. And I would love to be releasing 39-inch fish, 38.5-inch fish every day rather than 26.5
sure.
or 25.5.
Sure.
It makes no sense to be keeping these little ones. I'm petitioning the state on a steady basis for letting us, the Charlotte Harbor area, have our trophy fish. We don't. You know, we'll catch and release all these little guys, but let us have a couple of trophies. We've got the biggest snook in the world here, and
exactly. We
just can't do anything. Nobody knows about it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's Doctor Who, so it means I get a message. You're not the only one whose phone goes off.
Well, mine's more original. My elephant's more original.
Yes, I like the elephant much better. I'm a Whovian. I got to have a little Doctor Who around me, you know. Yeah, I'm into British TV. I can't help it. Top Gear, Doctor Who, you know, I'm crazy about that stuff. But anyway, fishing.
And another thing, your shrimp are working good still, especially on popping corks. Getting them off the bottom and not free lining, put them on a cork. Because this time of year, with the change, we have the currents and stuff, and the hotter water, you have the rolling moss is rolling in harder now, and it's all getting pushed in and pushed away. It's breaking loose. It's, you know, it's going to be going bye-bye here another month or two, but, so it's on the move. So I'm not free lining anything, on shrimp wise. Shrimp's all on, corks now. That way it moves and it goes with the grass or, you know, any kind of current at all. The white bait has came in. It's devilfish has it. Sandfly, bunch of it around sandfly, and it's good decent bait. And like I said, and that's I think the reason why you have all the mackerel and stuff in the outer harbor out
right.
there too, because it's starting to come.
Believe it or not, marker two's loaded.
Yeah, marker two's loaded. There
yeah,
you go.
A lot of mackerel. Marker two, the reef. Marker yep. five. We got a lot of mackerel up here. There's more out there.
Yeah.
That just tells you how many is out there because the harbor's thick with them. I mean, if it would continue, if they would double their numbers, you could pretty much lay on your back and just do one of those, you know, rock star surfer things across the mackerel or down the harbor.
Gotcha. Yeah, they're thick down there through there. I don't get up in the upper harbor much, you know.
Right.
Ponce de Leon, you know, up
but you're
the river.
Fishing out of Burnt Store.
Right. I'm a South Harbor and right. the Sound and Turtle Bay and stuff. But so that's good. You know, you got the bait coming in. You got the tarpon. The cobia are really thick. Great cobia year. it might be better than that last year, which was phenomenal.
We did a whole, you know, the meetings last month on cobia. Now, next month at the fishing club, it's all going to be about snook. But we did 4 nights on cobia there at Luigi's because so many people were interested in it because it's been such a great year in cobia. And it's hard when people, they don't think about the cobia, but you're seeing a dorsal fin and a tail fin when you see them coming across the top.
Sure.
And that's kind of the key to understanding, yes, that is a cobia, because you're not just going to see the dorsal, you're going to see a dorsal and a tail.
Right.
And the dorsal fin, you should see, what, about 6 to 10 inch long dorsal fin, a few inches high, but then you're going to see a smaller one right behind that, which is the top of the tail sticking out.
And sometimes it just barely breaks the water. It's just moving the water, you know, barely sticking out. they hold. It depends on how he's swimming and what depth and a lot of stuff. But
best advice is if you're anchored up anywhere in more than 3-4 feet of water and it's bright and sunny, take a minute every now and again. Stick your head over the side of the boat. You don't have to put it under the water, but get over the side of the boat and see how many cobia are laid under your boat.
Yeah, that's true. They're hunting. They're hunting shade spots, and they like to be up and around things. That's why you find them on the manatees, which there's a herd of over in the West Wall now.
And the boat's nothing more than a big manatee or a big shark to them.
They're not afraid of a boat or a motor whatsoever.
No, they don't care. Unless you're driving and you pull the engine to neutral. Freaks them out.
Can't change gears. If you're going, you're going. Just keep circling.
Yeah. If you're out there and you're idling along and see a cobia, spin the wheel over in a circle, but don't touch the throttle, because as soon as you do, they're gone.
Yeah. The throttle, the changing, or speed up or slow down. You just want to do what you're doing.
Yeah, and so. Circle around, because that's the way to actually get to where that cobia is.
Right. Just hit the circle.
Hopefully you're going slow, because you cannot do not do this at 50 miles an hour, guys. Yes. You cannot do a circle at 50 miles an hour and expect to catch cobia.
Yeah.
We're talking about slow idle speeds.
Idle speeds. We need a disclaimer.
Yeah. If you're going along at 50 and you crank her into a power turret, I'm pretty sure the cobia is going to leave. You're going out of the boat. The fish are going to leave. But if you're at an idle and you go to neutral, those fish will run.
Yes.
So if you're at an idle, just turn the wheel over hard, make a nice circle, and cast at it. They're not going to get freaked out by the boat going around in circles, but they're going to get freaked out if the noise stops.
That's it. Yep. One way or another, they need to, in the same way with deer and hogs. If they see a deer on a road, and you're there, and you're in your truck or your swamp buggy or wherever you're in, and they're standing there looking at you. Long as you don't turn it off,
right.
You can hit neutral, but don't turn it off. They'll sit there and look at you. But as soon as you turn the key off, it'll be quiet, it'll be sneaky. Well, that changes. Now the motor stopped, something changed, so they're going to go.
Yep.
A lot of times we just, we look at them through the binoculars and stuff, see what they are. And, as long as you don't, open a door, shut a door,
right.
Or turn the engine off or something like that, you can sit there and watch them,
Now, I interrupted you before, which is unfortunately a bad habit of mine, and I will get better as the shows go on, I promise. But you were talking about putting your shrimp under floats and drift them with the grass. Go on a little bit about that. I'm just kind of a little more curious than I should be. It's been nagging me in the back of the brain to ask you about that again.
I free line. What I'll do is I'll take I kind of know the depth, or if you'd have to go through the holes or whatnot, wherever there's current, it's going to take it. It's going to sweep it, which if you don't have a float on it, it's going to go for a certain, and a shrimp's going to go to the bottom eventually, and then he's going to hang, dead or alive, he's going to hang on the bottom.
Right.
Well, I'll put the shrimp, a foot, 2 foot, whatever it needs to be, on a popping cork, on a bobber, and let it float, and then I'll actually free line it. So you're keeping your line taut, but you're just letting it feed out with the current. So now it's floating, and that's what's happening with the injured fish and the bait fish that are injured in the shrimp that can't, got half eight or whatever. The fish are always opportunists. They're always looking up current. So when things float down, they dart out, grab it, and go back to wherever they're hiding at. Or they'll come up and grab it and go back down to where they're at. And if you float it down through there, it's a natural act.
Right.
And this way, it doesn't just stop on the bottom 10 feet from you. You can actually float it down a current. Say if you were fishing ponds, you can let it go all the way down, to bend it and bring it back and do it again.
I was doing that yesterday in an island. That's how I got my little redfish.
And then the islands is perfect.
I, between two islands and a cut, and I threw up upstream and as far as I could, and then I just let out line or took line in, to keep that bobber going about a foot and a half, 2 foot off of the mangroves, and I was able to drift that whole side of the island that way.
Exactly. And that's how they do it this time. And there's reasons for it.
One, I did it 8 times. I caught one redfish.
Well, it'll happen.
I still got one.
You got one. The rolling moss is moving now. So if you throw out there, if you're using a pinfish or a white bait or whatever, they're going to run right to it. That's natural height. So that's out. And your shrimp, floats down to it. It rolls up in it, and it, rolling moss is rolling moss. It rolls everything up in a knot, and it just kind of rolls like a snowball, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it
like a tumbleweed, out west.
A tumbleweed, yep. And that's what it's doing. And this time of year, it's breaking loose from where it's been. You know, it's kind of, I think it's kind of dying.
Right. That's what happens. It dies, breaks off, floats up, decays.
And it goes against the shores, and all the tide pushes it. So you have a lot of that moving around right now. And we'll have that for another month or so. So what I'm doing now, and before it was just, there was patches. There were sand holes and rolling moss, sand holes and rolling moss. But it wasn't moving, even with the current. Right. Now the current's moving it. Even if you sit down and the current hasn't started yet, so, and you throw in that sand hole, watch the sand hole, because it's going to get covered up in just a matter of time, that current moving. So I'm drifting. I put it on a bobber. I keep everything moving with the
and
current.
And that way, you're kind of staying between the globs of rolling moss where the fish can see it.
Sure.
And you can kind of hold your position like being on I-75. You know, you got a group of cars up there and a group of cars behind you, and sometimes you can just hold that little position all by yourself, you know.
Well, and the thing is that rolling moss is kicking stuff up. As it rolls down through, there's little shrimp and little crabs are coming out of it, and, you know, it's moving stuff. So if you have a shrimp and it's floating down, even if the rolling moss is moving faster or slower, they're looking for that. They're there to feed because they're facing up current in the current. And that's what they're doing there. And as you're like you were saying, as it's floating down the edge of the bank, I mean, I wouldn't float it right down the middle. I'd float it down the edges. But your trout are in the deeper holes that it floats through. Your reds, your snook, everything's going to be in the deeper little holes, the little troughs.
And if you're a fish laying there and all of a sudden you get blasted by these weeds, you're going to wake up. You know,
sure.
Something's
well,
hitting you. You're going to wake up, look around. If they're kind of dozing there, you know, it's kind of a wake-up call. And
sure.
Okay, here, there's food coming, and then here comes your shrimp.
I think they're, and that's why I say the sides mostly, because they are on the sides. But it's also, most of your turns, like you were saying, between two islands, it'll kind of swing out and come back and go through, and you'll have like a sandy hole, and that's where they're laying there darting out of, you know. So if you watch it and study, if you go to a hole where you like to fish and you study it and you watch how it goes on the current on the way in and watch the current on the way out, it'll only take two or three times, and you'll see how the sand, how things lay, and you can actually watch the fish sit underneath your boat, because, you know, we all see the fish, and some will, they're cruisers, and they'll go by. And if you pay attention more on what's happening below you than what's happening out what you're trying to make happen, you'll actually understand your hole, and then you'll know how to fish it better.
Difference between a guy who goes out just to throw a line out and a guy who's actually really wants to catch a lot of fish, it's all about doing the Lewis and Clark. You got to be an explorer. You got to understand your environment. And you got to pay attention.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, learn the spot. And they're so busy watching their bobber, their bait, they don't see the grass moving. They don't see the moss going.
Oh, yeah.
And that is key to really being successful as a fisherman here, is understanding why the fish are in that spot.
Yep.
And good, great advice, Tom.
Not that I caught a bunch of fish there.
Okay, this is Captain Tom Fisher. Some really good advice, Tom. And the name of your charter boat business?
Fishbone Charters.
Now, Captain Tom Fisher, Fishbones. Now, that's going to be hard to remember. Anyway, you got a phone number, Tom?
Yes, it's area code 941-628-4687.
And you can just click Tom's picture right next to this interview, and it'll take you to his website and everything. Tom's a lot of fun to fish with. Myself, me and my dad, we've all been fishing with Tom, and we have a good time. It's a really good time out there. And if his tower's all in one piece,
it's all good.
It's all good. You got it welded again?
I got it welded up. We're good to go.
I shouldn't pick on you. It's the only thing about Tom's boat. He's up there standing this thing, and we're going along. Blah, 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 and you look at the tower, the back of it's cracked. I mean, you're just out of the water so much, it's hard to keep up with that. But the only one in any danger of flying out is you. So,
that's true. You know, actually, I have bought a new tower. That's a new one from the last time.
So you bought a new tower since then? Okay.
That
I should bust
unfixable.
Your chops about, you know, a couple years ago. I had to get something.
That's local knowledge.
I had to get something in. Anyway, any last words? You got any time open coming? Any days,
you know,
open yet?
Not just with me, but with any guide when you're coming to Southwest Florida, Charlotte Harbor area. Soon as you have your schedule, soon as you have your plane reservations, your hotel reservations, soon as you have that logged, The next thing you need to do is call whoever you're taking out, whether it be me or any other guide, call then and set your dates, even if it's a month out, because we book up up to a year actually away. So if you want a date, and
but you have a couple
dates,
of days open here and there, somebody could still get you out if they call. There's still a possibility.
Yeah. Always call. We move people around all the time, and we make it work. And I have a bunch of availability going. So,
well,
I'm
at least
saying,
a little bit.
I'm
I know
saying.
You don't have a bunch. I think that's kind of an overstatement.
No, keep calling. Keep calling.
Yeah, keep calling. But you can get out with Tom, and he's a lot of fun to fish with, and it's really cool. Tom's very good on the cobia, and Dad and I actually went out to do snappers and sheephead with Tom, and we had a ball. And, you know, every day is a little different discovery, but I know how good you are in the cobia and the redfish and all that. But a lot of people don't realize it takes a lot of talent to get good at some of these other fish, to be able to go and go, okay, we're going to catch snapper today, and go and catch snapper. It's hard to do that, and you're really good at it.
Thank you very much.
So, anyway, Captain Tom Fisher, and this is Fishing Frank. Any last words, Tom?
Have a good day.
Yeah, last words. Have a nice day. I like it here. This is my buddy Tom, and I'm one of the reasons I have a good life is I got guys like Tom around me. It's been a lot of fun. And Fishing Frank, Captain Tom, click his picture next to this interview, and it'll take you to his website. We'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye.
You wouldn't fall for it. Okay.